Book 3, Burton Crane, Chapter 5. The damp hung in patches over the lake as Burton Crane drove past the large gate down a mile-long gravel drive. The showers had dried up, but the wind was fresh. The ancient fortress by a small lake fitted the grounds, but the lawns needed tending. The whole place had the natural smell of decay. In Britain, you'd expect to find a fashionable country restaurant on the ground floor, with a liveried waiter to greet you at the door. The top floors would be open to the public, the best wing reserved for the old family, squeezed by inheritance taxes. The thought made him smile. The only reason for untended grounds was that Baron Kaltenbrunner liked it that way. This aristocrat was still collecting his feudal dues. Crane had heard the stories and read the titbits about the loveless breeding of the young baron, a brutal stem of old Geisenhausen stock. The boy had a barren life, a single child, watched and harassed every minute of the day, taught to waste not a word. Trendy psychoanalysts had dissected dinners in the family mausoleum, the lack of feelings and strict regime, fearful servants and gloom in rituals of silence, two parents, each with an army of spies. The son of the house was cast as a piece of steel. Started off on the floor with the machine division in Munich, the foremen were under orders to ride him hard. If reports to his father failed to show this, the old man would sack the foreman in question. The boy was good material for moulding. Still, the old baron suspected that he kept a soft core hidden where he could not get at it, and God knows he tried. It was the stuff that sold glossy magazines. Crane walked across the parking lot. The three-story fortress of stone was topped off by a later addition. Medieval of light facades and dark beams, turrets and all. He had spotted the chopper pad earlier, a large, ugly asphalt circle set in a green field, large enough to handle an army. Practical but unsightly. The man needed a woman's touch on the grounds. There were swans on the water, nestling in the sedge. It was a fine touch, as were the small pier and a couple of dinghies. Hidden by foliage on the wall beside the large door, something piqued his interest. He could push leaves aside enough to read the green copper plaque with the castle's name. Schloss Heimdall. That would be Heimdall from Viking mythology. Having pestered his friends in the services about the old fortress, Crane found it surprising that none had called the estate by its name. In the large, airy hall, a somberly attractive and effective woman sat behind an antique desk with a leather top. Both the desk and the young woman went well with the high rustic beams and the flagstone floor. The atmosphere was pleasant and strictly business. Baron Kaltenbrunner was expecting Herr Crane. Burton Crane was no dandy. As a cop, he had met too many fancy dressers on the opposite side of the law to develop the taste, but he wore a conservative tie, nothing to be gained by upsetting the aristocratic eccentric. Crane recalled his wife's disdain for the descendants of the high and mighty that spent time squandering the rewards of parental toil and resting on inherited laurels. Not that Kaltenbrunner did any of that. The secretary relieved him of his parka and ushered him through, closing the door behind him. The room felt small after the high-beamed hall, more of a library. It was the baron's private den. Crane found himself looking at a naked man with a book on top of his head. The thick, leather-bound volume lay open and balanced. It was the sort of thing small boys might do with the family Bible while their parents were out of the house. The man stood by a grand viewing window and stared absent-mindedly out over the small lake. Stirred by occasional gusts of wind, its greyish surface almost reached floor level. The nature of his reverie was hard to fathom. He seemed lost, apparently unaware of Crane's presence. It occurred to Crane that this was willfully so. He studied the man and his den in silence, biding time.